Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy, as always, to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. We are now studying chapter 6 of our study, which covers the doctrine of abrogation, as we have promised you in our last program. That is what we will be spending some time on in this broadcast and the following broadcast. One of the things which only can be found in Islam is the doctrine of abrogation. There is not any other religion in the world have such doctrine. What is abrogation? According to Muslim scholars, they teach us that the word abrogation is to cancel, to erase, to delete, or to replace. That is Allah canceling His own words, deleting His own words, changing His own words, replacing His own words, which does not make any sense at all, especially when we know that Allah also in the Quran said no one can change the words of Allah. How can Allah said no one can change His word when Allah Himself changed His word? Many Muslims around the world do not know that this is a true doctrine, a true ideology, which is found throughout the pages of the Quran. My friends, there are only 43 chapters in the Quran where there is no any verses fall under this ideology of abrogation. We have 114 chapters. 71% of these chapters have this problem of abrogation. Notice here, 40 of these chapters have abrogated verses. So I can go there and I read verses, and in reality, these verses, Allah no longer wanted the Muslim people to believe it or to practice it. Now, there are 6 chapters have the verses which Allah used to abrogate the verses throughout the pages of the Quran. Now, there are 25 chapters in the Quran have both verses, the old verses which Allah abrogated and the new verses which Allah used to abrogate the old verses. In simple words, the Quran is a book of chaos. You do not know what you're reading, if this is the final word of Allah, or maybe Allah, not only He does not want the Muslims to practice such verses, but He wants them to practice the teaching which goes in the opposite of that which they are reading in the pages of the Quran. And once again, this can only be found in the cult of Islam. There is not one other religion or belief out there where people have some holy book they believe in and their God or their prophet is telling them to do something, and at the same time He is changing His mind by telling them to practice the opposite of what He said. This is the mystery of the doctrine of abrogation. And that makes it difficult for any logical person to understand the Quran, to know exactly what Allah is doing. So when you practice any of the teaching of the Quran, you always wonder, is this really what Allah wants me to do? Or did Allah change His mind about the command or such verses I am practicing from the pages of the Quran? How do we know what is lawful and what is unlawful? How can we practice a book where Allah changed His mind about His commands all over its verses? When Ali ibn Abi Talib, one day he went to a mosque in the Kufa, and he found in that mosque a man by the name Abdul Rahman, and people surrounding him, asking him questions, and he was mixing his answers by what is forbidden and what is allowed. So Ali asked him, do you know the doctrine of abrogation? He said, no. Ali answered him, you have been destroyed and you are destroying others. So Ali pulled him by his ear and he threw him out of the mosque. And that man, Abdul Rahman, was the companion of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, a man who's very well known in his knowledge. He was like a scholar in these days. He was very near to the companions of Muhammad, but he did not know the doctrine of abrogation, and he was almost about to cause his people to go astray. Or as Ali ibn Abi Talib said, "You have been destroyed, and you are destroying others." What do you think about people who have no idea what is the doctrine of abrogation? Those who have no knowledge whatsoever about things of Islam, not by near or far from the companion of Muhammad. Believe me, my friends, if this ideology, the doctrine of abrogation, is found in any law, that will be the destruction of such laws. For how can the law say something and in the same time, the same law teach the opposite of what was written earlier? That's why we know that any true beliefs, any true doctrine, any true religion should have nothing to do with such doctrine. For God, the true God, knows the past and the present and the future. He knows the secret and what it is appear. He knows everything about people and what they lean to, their saying and their actions. Therefore, His holy book should not have anything to do with such weird doctrine. And anyone who practices such beliefs gives us a great evidence that he is ignorant and he does not know what is good and what is helpful for people. What do we say? If the kings of the earth, the rulers of the earth, do not have this problem, how in the world can we see that happening in the holy words of God or in the teaching of Allah in the Quran? And when people complain to Muhammad about this doctrine, he gives him a great answer, which we read in Quran chapter 2 and verse 106, where Allah there stated, "Whatever verse we abrogate or cause it to be forgotten, we bring a better verse than it or like it. Do you not know that Allah has might over all things? Don't you think that Allah should know better, and He will not rush to make a law, to make a decision for the people, until He wait and investigate to know if this law would be good for all the people, those who love Him? Any earthly king, any earthly ruler will do that. What about God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Knower, the Wise? Does it make any sense that He will set laws and rules in His book and then later He change His mind by taking away from it or add to it or completely change it by other rules and other laws? If this happened from a king or an earthly ruler, we can give him an excuse because he is just simply a man. He does not know what is coming in the future of his people. But how about God, all-knowing, the one who knows everything about our life in this world for eternity? He is the one who created man, and He is the one who created everything. He must know what is acceptable and what is benefit for His people. Don't you think so? Obviously, from studying that doctrine of abrogation, we know that it goes against the wisdom of God, goes against His full knowledge, and that is simply a good excuse for every man who claimed to be a prophet. Because whenever a person, a liar, claimed to be a prophet and he set some rules and he found out that his rules does not work, it's not going to help him to accomplish his purpose, then he will come with the other rules which maybe will help him to have his goals accomplished. And that is not a sign for a true prophet who speaks on the behalf of a true God, a God who knows everything. And that is a great evidence that Muhammad is not a true prophet. He made up rules in the Quran, and then later he changed his rules, and then he said it was not actually him, it was Allah, his God, who changed his mind. Does this make any sense to you, my dear friends? Maybe some of you think, well, there are plenty of Muslims in the world who do not know this doctrine of abrogation, therefore, we just let it go. No, my dear friends, I have to warn you. For here in America and all over the West, Muslim imams, the leaders of the mosque, knew exactly what is the doctrine of abrogation. You cannot be a Muslim imam unless you graduate from the Muslim schools. And that is something they study and they know very well. So whenever you see a Muslim imam in America who is quoting the early abrogated verses of the Quran, the soft verses of the Quran, you have to know that these Muslim imams are very well the best of the deceiver of the leaders of the Muslim in the world. They're using the soft portion of the Quran to deceive the people of the West, making them believe that what he is reading from the Quran is actually the final word of Allah, when in reality he knows that what he's reading is abrogated verses. And that is the benefit of having these verses in the Quran. Muslims in the West are using it to deceive the people of the West, when in reality, when the right time comes, that is, when the Muslims in America will have the upper hand, the same imams who are reading these soft verses of the Quran, the early abrogated verses, they will be teaching the real, the final words of Allah. And then the American people will be facing the reality of the new verses which Allah gave to Muhammad when he became so powerful in the land 1400 years ago. And that is, will be the falling down of the West, not only here in America, but all over the West. That is where Muslims will become the new reality, and the final commands of Allah in the Quran will become the new laws which Muslims will be practicing. And that is, we'll see the sad end of our ignorance here in America and in the West about the doctrine of abrogation. That's why I believe this is a very important doctrine. We must know it before it will destroy us.
600 years after Jesus Christ walked this planet, an obscure Arab preacher began proclaiming a radical and violent new faith. The would-be prophet, Muhammad. The new faith, the religion of Islam. And now, 14 centuries later, over 1.5 billion people claim to follow him and his supposed revelations from God contained within the Quran. But here in the modern West, what do we truly know about this deadly and dangerous religion that has conquered, killed, and enslaved hundreds of millions over the centuries? What do we know of its founder, of its holy book, and of its unalterable mandate to subdue and rule all of mankind? The Lord said through Hosea the prophet that, "My people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge." To combat this lack of understanding, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. It's time you, your church, or your organization becomes equipped with the truth about Islam. We are only one phone call or email away from scheduling a single seminar or even an entire series in your area. Please contact us at 941-223-1703 or by email at vicky@thestraightway.org. That's Vicky spelled V-I-C-K-I. You can also visit our website for more information at www.thestraightway.org. And now, back to our show.
The doctrine of abrogation have been used by many false prophets in Muhammad's days. For example, there was a false prophet by the name Muhammad ibn al-Hanfiyya. He used to promise his people of things to come. And when his promise came to pass, he used it as an evidence that he is a true prophet. And when it did not come, he said that their Lord changed his mind and he refused to fulfill his promise. Who also stated that if abrogation can be accepted in the judgment and in the rules of God, that means it also can be accepted in telling the future. For a false prophet, if he prophesied and his prophecy did not come to pass, use the excuse of the doctrine of abrogation, which means it's just Allah changed his mind, or his God changed his mind. That's why the Jewish people in Muhammad's days did not accept him to be a true prophet, simply because he was pretending to be a prophet, prophesying about things to come, but his promise was not fulfilled. Very important fact I must share with you here is that in Judaism and in Christianity, we do not have such doctrine, the doctrine of abrogation. As we examine the Holy Bible, we will discover that this doctrine of abrogation does not exist in neither the writing of Moses nor the writing of any of the Old Testament prophets or the writings of the New Testament, the Apostle of Jesus. We could not find one verse where God changed his mind or God changed a law by another law. Such doctrine is actually we use in our Christian faith to prove that the person who is making it up is not a true prophet, as it was in the case of Muhammad and many of those who follow him after him. For the true prophets of the Old Testament and the true believers and writers of the New Testament were led by the Holy Spirit to write to us exactly what Christ wants us to know. And many of the things which happened in the life of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ was prophesied for hundreds of years before Christ came in the flesh. And all of it was fulfilled. The teaching of the Old Testament as well as the teaching of the New Testament were written perfectly according to the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and there was not any need to worry about God changing his mind or God changing his rules of how he wants his people of the Old Testament or the believers in Jesus in the New Testament to live their life for him. When we meditate on the prophecies which were written in the Old Testament concerning our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, his description, his completion, his works, his death, his crucifixion, his resurrection, his authority, his might, even about his disciples and the church, we will find out that there is always unity between the Old Testament and the New Testament. As the Apostle Paul wrote in the book of Hebrews, that all the laws of the Jews, all the traditions, all the wash, and all the sacrifices of the Old Testament were simply a picture, a symbol and metaphor to what is coming in the New Testament. Many of the characters we read about in the Old Testament, like Melchizedek, Moses, David, Solomon, they were also metaphor of Christ. Many of the things which happened for the Jewish people in the history of their life, like the crossing of the Red Sea, like the Passover lamb, like the brass serpent, and like the manna which came from heaven, like the water which came from the rock, all of these were symbol to what is coming in Christ Jesus. For we know that prophecy in our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ became more highly, more exalted than that which it used to be in its picture in the Old Testament. And through Christ, the entire earth will be like the land of Canaan. And here we must conclude our teaching by that which is written in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 17 through 19. That is, when our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ said, "Think not that I'm come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men, so he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Notice here the words of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Not one dot, not one word will be deleted, abrogated, canceled. That is the opposite of the entirety of the pages of the Quran, where there we see Allah changed his mind, gave commands and the opposite of the commands, and give stories and the opposite of his stories. Amazingly, when we go to Quran chapter 22 and verse 52, we'll learn about the satanic verses. That is, when Muhammad received verses from Satan, which he added to his Quran, not from Jibreel, as he always claimed to be the source of Allah's words. And that is one of the many types of abrogation which we read about in the Quran. Here is what Allah said in Quran chapter 22 and verse 52. "And we did not send before you," you here is Muhammad, "any messenger or prophet, except that when he wishes, Satan cast in his wishes. So Allah abrogate what Satan cast." Then Allah fixed his verses, and Allah is knowing wise. And I'm amazed that Muslims believe even the propaganda of Muhammad in such verse. I'm sorry. If this is true, that every prophet who came before Muhammad, every messenger who came before Muhammad, have written somehow a verse or two or three by the power of Satan, can any Muslim give us one example from the pages of the Bible where Moses or Joshua or Elisha or Elijah or Isaiah or Jeremiah or any of the writers of the Bible in the Old Testament or the New Testament, just show us one example that some of these men, we're talking about 40 men who wrote to us the 66 books of the Bible. Can any Muslim give us one example of one verse given by Satan in the pages of the Bible? The answer is none. Zero, zip. There is not one evidence of such claim of Muhammad in the Quran. But the problem, my friend, is this, that Muhammad wanted so badly his people, the infidels of Quraysh, to become Muslim. And they used to worship these three gods, Al-Lat, Al-Uzza, and Al-Manat. So what he did is he wrote in his Quran in chapter 22 the following verses. These are the exalted one. Which one he's talking about? He's talking about three false gods, Al-Lat, Al-Uzza, and Al-Manat. He said, these are the exalted one whose intercession is to be hoped for. And when he did that, oh boy, revival took place in the city of Mecca. All the idol worshippers loved Muhammad and they all became a Muslim. And he and them together prayed the Muslim prayer and used these verses as part of their prayer. A little bit later, Allah told Muhammad, you made a mistake, Muhammad. You see, these verses you wrote was not actually mine. You took them from Satan, and therefore you have to take them out. That's why Allah said in Quran chapter 16, verse 101, the following. And if we change one verse in a place of another verse, and Allah knows what he sent down, they said, surely you are only a forger. Yet most of them do not know. I'm sorry, Allah. These people whom you claim they did not know, they know very well that your Muhammad is a forger. Because once again, only in Islam, we see that Allah take his verses out of some chapter of the Quran and replace them with another verses sometime in the same chapter or in another chapter. And that is what we know by the doctrine of abrogation. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.